Why go to all the trouble of experiencing the great outdoors for yourself when you can listen to a couple of Northwest Outdoor experts yap about it? This is The Outdoor Line with Tom Nelson and Rob Ensley on 710 ESPN Seattle and the 710 ESPN Seattle app. The Outdoor Line is brought to you by Yamaha, Sportco Outdoor Emporium, Lowrance, Weldcraft, and Duckworth Boats, Roy Robinson Chevrolet, Kitsap Marina, Harbor Marine, Truck Vault, and Rain Marine Electronics.
Welcome to Hour 2 of the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN Seattle. Mark Boardman, Vortex Optics, Bruce Larson, Renaissance Marine Group, Joey Pyburn of Raised Baits. I'm Tom Nelson. Thanks for tuning in. We were going to have Robbie Tobeck on, but he said the only way he was going to do an interview was with, you know, if we actually got him a decent Chinook. What?
Oh, we did.
Oh, yeah, you did.
Oh, wait, he's on? He's on? Robbie Tobeck, the Crimson here. Curmudgeon? Here. Is he there?
Oh, I'm here. Oh. What's going on, fellas?
Hey, Rob.
Good morning.
Hey,
this
how
is
you
the,
doing?
The. We're doing great, man. I'm just kind of happy that, you know, we spent the last couple of days on the boat together, and you're still speaking to us. That's something. Right?
Well, you know, it's been too long, to be honest with you, since we fished together. You know, I fish on my boat, you fish on your little boat, obviously a lot, but it's been too long, and it was a great 2 days. You know, we had some wasn't red hot, but some steady action, and you know, I think we went home with some nice fish both days. So. Not to mention the crab, you know.
What was a crab last night, Robbie? How was it?
Well, you know, I'm still in that crab coma. I've been in a 2-day crab coma over here. So
give us your impressions. We went out Thursday morning. We dropped the gear. Went out and fished. You know, it was a rough day. You know, on the water, I mean, we had our chances. You had one just on tearing us up, ripping, put one in the boat, had another chance, kick another, you know, couple back, whatever. And then we came back and pulled the gear on like a 5-hour soak. Okay. Then, it was okay.
What part of the process did Tobeck do? Was he the coiler?
He was the coiler.
Oh, yeah. That's usually what we have. Ex-NFL greats as coilers on the boat. That's usually their job. We've had Shane Palcoa, Kevin Gogan, Robbie Tobeck.
So, well, and he did
we're,
it. You didn't. You,
we're good at
you
that. we're good at the coiling. It's easy. You know, you just move your arm. You know, it's a pretty easy job. So we're good at that. And I'm now in proud possession of a coiler and a couple of 800 pound spools and a couple 400 foot spools, 900 pounds.
Yeah, no, you're not in the weight room anymore, Robbie. Just calm down. You're not jacking 800 pounds anymore. So give us your impressions, the 6-hour soak versus the 24-hour soak. What did you see? And give us the meat reading from those monsters you cooked last night.
Well, you know, I've always known, obviously, that, you know, I've been crabbing with you for years, and I've always known you've let them soak a long time. You know, we've had results doing that. And I tried that last year in my pocket. My pots got robbed, so I've always been kind of, you know, an anti-leave-it-overnight guy because I've had some issues that way down here closer to Seattle. But where you crab, your pots don't get messed with or haven't been, and you were telling me, you know what, just wait. We did this soak while we fished. We had good results. We got a few crab. But just wait till tomorrow when they soak overnight and, you know, the big boys will come in. I'm going, what is he talking about? You know, I'm thinking, you know, like big crab are going to come in and kick the little crab out, and you're going to have better crabbing. And I said, maybe more crab. But I would say there weren't necessarily any more crab in the pots, but you were right. They were big old purple back, big old, you know, left guards, right guards, you know, stuff like that. I mean, it was big old dudes. I just never thought that it would go like that. You know, I kind of thought, well, there'd be more crabs in there, but not necessarily, with some bigger ones mixed in. But it was on average bigger crab with the 24-hour soak, and you know, it ended up being more than it. Well, yeah, I guess it was 24-hour soak. So
yeah, absolutely, it was. And so what you saw yesterday was some eight and a half inch crab. Some of those, and we were throwing back keepers. And again, we mentioned this earlier in the show that you take just a 6 1/4 inch keeper and you compare that with a meat that's in an 8-incher, and dude.
It's twice the crab.
It's twice the meat.
Yeah, it's just. Yeah. And don't feel bad, Rob, but, that you got your pots robbed, because we did have one of our pots robbed. Tom wrote my name on one of them, and, why do you hate, disappeared the next day.
Why do you hate Joey Pyburn? Why do you hate Joey?
So somebody out there has 400 feet of line in them.
Sometimes.
And a Nelly pot.
I guess that's what happens sometimes, and it's unfortunate. You wish your fellow sportsmen would play by the rules and do the right things, but it doesn't always happen that way. But I want to talk. I mean, think about this, guys. I got home last night thinking, it was a great couple of days. I got I looked at my cooler. I got crab. I got fresh salmon. Think of the opportunity. Our fish calendar got completely screwed up this year. And so, but think of the opportunity we have here in August. Think of the opportunity we have this week. Within the span of 1 week to 10 days, I've caught Chinook salmon, crab, I'm going shrimping, I can go catch tuna, and I can go halibut fishing.
You can't go catch tuna.
You can go fishing.
Stop it. And I told this story on the other side of the break where, listen. Last time I heard, these guys were 80 miles out and they didn't get any tuna, but I'd go make that run. I'd go if you guys wanted to. We're like, no. So what have you heard that made you say that we can go get tuna?
Well, Daryl Johnson got him yesterday.
Oh, he did.
And I'm still waiting on the fresh report, exactly where he was and whatnot. But I'm still waiting on that information. Okay. But I know he did get it, and he runs day trips, and I think they did pretty good. They had, they had the Bloody Decks, and they had a nice grade of fat tuna. So, not exactly sure, but again, a day boat, day trips, that's what he does, at Far Corners, and they got him. So, there's tons of opportunity out there right now, and what, typically is our best month for weather and the whole deal. So, there's a lot of opportunity. I know you guys are going down to Buoy 10, here, towards the end of the week. So, I might get my boat down there and sneak out for a tuna trip, with you guys on board at some point if the weather cooperates and stuff. So lots of opportunity here, coming up, and I'm just fired up that, we get another day of shrimp in, and, crab and shrimp and fresh king salmon. What's better than that?
So how was dinner last night then?
Well, dinner last night was excellent. Like I said, I'm still, it was tough getting up. I don't know. I would just been in the mood for crab and just, I've been eating, three and a half crabs.
Tobek portion.
No kidding. It had been a while since we've
been here.
It had been a while since we've had you on the show, and I mean, man, you and I did this thing for the first, the outdoor line for the first 5 years of existence. Now Robbo can't do it today because he's out of town, or he had to leave early from port.
Running 35 miles.
Yeah, he's running 35 miles in weather today in Southeast.
And that's to get away from the 28 foot sea.
There's some ugly stuff in Southeast right now, but so we'll count on you then. Starting again at 6 a.m. on Saturday mornings again, we'll just have you jump right back on and fill your own spot on the show. What do you think?
Well, I do miss doing the show sometimes. It's we had such a great time and great fun, and I miss hanging out with you guys as much as we used to. But fortunately. Fortunately, we were able to work together for a few years and remain friends and still get together, go bend the rod, stuff like that. So, the show's been great. And, I miss doing it sometimes, like I said, but, you guys have done a great job with it. And I can't believe it's been on the air for over 10 years now.
'09. So, we started in the spring of 2009. All right. So yesterday was your first experience with the Canon Optimum downriggers, the Bluetoothers. And you kind of made you aware of a couple different features. So you've had 2 days running those riggers. What do you think about them?
Well, I really like the, I run Canons as well, but I don't have the newest model like you got on your boat. There's so many features to that thing. I really need to go through a tutorial to see everything it does, but being able to at least, the mode I was running on, to be able to at least see, how deep the bottom is, where the bottom is, especially when you're Chinook fishing, you're banging that bottom, and also see where your ball is on the same screen. And you got on your screen, you had a fish finder on your screen. I mean, it's a weapon that, you know, you're constantly looking at the screen, looking at your downrigger, looking at the screen, looking at your downrigger. Look at, with those cannons, you don't have to. You just got to look at your downrigger and your fishing rod, so your eye never comes off your rod. And you're just that much better because you're not turned around looking at anything else. Your eye never comes off the rod. So the slightest bite or the bite you might miss when you turn around looking at the screen, you don't miss with those cannons because, you know, you're on top of it, and that's got your focus. So, they're really impressive. I was really impressed with those things.
So what screen did you run? Were you running the screen where you could actually see bottom? I'm guessing, right?
I ran that one for a while. I ran the screen where you could, you know, your ball, your line.
You can see your ball and the bottom.
And the bottom's on the bottom. And then I really appreciated the screen where as you're dropping the line, you see a downrigger ball dropping down to the bottom. And so,
that's
you know, you really
screen.
Know, you know where you're at. And you know, you guys know how it is. Sometimes you chase a fish with those things. You see a fish on the screen, but you've got blowback and you've got everything else, and you're not exactly sure where that ball is with those cannons. It gives you that much more assurance of where that ball is. So if you come up off the bottom to chase a fish on the screen there, you know exactly where your ball is.
The other, did you use the auto down where it take you right back to the last depth?
And so that's one of the things we didn't quite get to. What, you know, and he spoke at the tutorial deal, but that's the auto up recall. So so when you hit auto up, that's the first memory depth. We didn't quite get him there, but
he was, that's my favorite thing about him. When you connect to your clip, put your rod in the rod holder, you hit one button and another button, and the downrigger takes your ball right back to the last depth you were at. And it's so easy and fast. And a lot of times I'm doing something, I clip in, rod, bang, bang, I walk away.
Sure.
And my line goes right back to where it was. And it's just so fast and easy. And I can go over here and do this and then go back over there. And
it's a labor saver. You loosen the drag and drop it down. All right, Robbie, well, we got to, if Daryl got into the tuna, you know, I'm going to be down in Astoria next week. You know, let us know, man. We'll jump on board for a tuna run. You can jump on my boat. We can hit buoy 10, whatever you want, buddy. We're not halibut.
I'm in, brother.
Okay.
Not halibut. Okay. Well, I'll
not halibut.
Someone else. Yeah, so. But yeah, if we can do it, let's get a tuna run in. I'd love to.
All right. Robbie Tobeck.
Oh, sure.
Former Seahawks center, actually, I got to say, Cougar legend, because you are an all-around good guy. He's a major dude. He's Robbie Tobeck. Thanks, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Rob.
See you, Robbie.
All right. Thanks, buddy. Go Cougar.
All right, dude. We'll take care. Good luck. Coming up next, a critically acclaimed, award-winning Northwest Outdoor Report right here on the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN, Seattle.
The Northwest Outdoor Report, also known as Redneck Sports Center, is brought to you by Truck Vault, the leader in secure vehicle storage.
Recreational spot shrimp will open in marine areas 6, 7 West, 7 East, and 9 next week. The Puget Sound spot shrimp fishery, like other fisheries, have seen historically high participation this season. This led to some areas being closed earlier than anticipated. Following review of the recreational shrimp and catch and effort data at Puget Sound today, WDFW determined that sufficient quota remains to offer additional harvest opportunity. In Area 6, you got the August 12th, 13th, and then the 15th daylight hours. Marine Area 7 East, you've got August 12th, 13th, 15th, and 16th during daylight hours. In 7 West, you got the biggest opportunity with August 12th, 13th, 15th, 16th, and then the 20th through the 23rd. Marine Area 9 opens up August 12th. From 9 to 1. The daily limit's 10 pounds of shrimp with a maximum of 80 spot shrimp in areas open to spot shrimp harvest.
WDFW closed salmon fisheries in Marine Area 4 yesterday, despite the fact that 67% of the Chinook quota remains in Nia Bay and 78% coast-wide. The rationale for this fishery closure is to prevent exceeding the sub-area quota for coho salmon, which is at 86% in Area 4, but only 68% coast-wide. Marine Area 2, or Westport, remains open, and for the first week in August, 2,552 Westport anglers checked, found 841 Chinook and 533 quota coho for a 0.54 fish per rod average, with the best action found about 7 to 8 miles straight out on the 25-fathom line.
Coastal halibut opened up this week, National Puget Sound Days. Thursday saw the opener of the coastal halibut fishery, and the Puget Sound Marine Area 5 and 10 will reopen with additional days. The Macon-Quillyut reservations, including marine and services, remain closed to visitors and are the primary direct access to 3 and 4. So you got to run from CQ if you want to hit the coast. On Marine Area 1, you got August 6th, which was yesterday, and then beginning August 13th, 2 days per week, Thursday and Sundays. And then in Puget Sound, we've got Thursdays, Fridays, and Sundays, August 6th through September 30th, or until the remaining quota is taken.
Here we go. It's hunting season, guys. Fall hunts are officially here as black bear hunting opened August 1st statewide. Hunters are allowed 2 black bears during the general season. A great tip for fall Bruins is to spend time behind your Vortex optics in the mornings and evenings when these bears are most active. During the heat of the day, run ridges and look for sign. If you find tracks or scat, you will see bears in the early morning or as the sun starts to set. One of the best approaches for a late summer Bruin is to find the berries, and you'll find the bears.
As of yesterday, Puget Sound anglers have an opportunity to keep 1 additional Chinook salmon as part of their daily limit in 3 Puget Sound areas. Admiralty Inlet, Seattle Bremerton, and Tacoma Vashon all have a 2 Chinook limit. Our assessments of these fisheries indicate we have enough harvest quota remaining to make these adjustments, said Mark Balzell, WDFW salmon manager. And WDFW is continuing to monitor returns to ensure fisheries are staying within our conservation restraints. Here's the rundown. Marine Area 9, 2 Chinook as part of a daily limit through August 15th. Starting August 16th, Chinook fishing will close, but the area will remain open for hatchery cove. Marine Area 10, 2 Chinook through the end of August. Starting September 1st, Chinook closed, but the area will remain open for coho, non-selective. Marine Area 11, 2 Chinook a day, and that's through September 30th in 11, and then starting October 1st, Chinook fishing closed, but the area will remain open for coho.
Bear breaks into a mobile home, attacks father protecting 10 children. An Alaskan family was terrorized last week by a black bear that followed a man and his friend into a home before attacking at dusk. Brandon McVeigh was visiting his friend, Norm Lott, who lives with his wife and their 10 children at a home in Juneau, when suddenly a bear broke into the house. Lott's wife, Angela, quickly grabbed their 2-year-old and hid in a bedroom while their other kids scattered for cover. McVeigh said he and Lott began yelling at the bear, which lunged at them. He just jumped up and lunged at me. I threw an elbow at the same time the bear was hitting me, and he just knocked me right down, McVeigh said. The bear then threw Lott on the floor and tried to escape, but became trapped by a closed door. It eventually managed to escape the home after ripping a window from its frame. McVeigh now sports several puncture wounds and deep scratches across his body. Alaska Department and Fish and Game area biologists maintain that it's unusual for bears to have contact with humans, as they usually break into homes that are empty.
Buoy 10 opens for business August 14th. The incredibly popular and productive Lower Columbia fishery opens Thursday, August 14th. And while the usual August 1st opener kind of draws a yawn from experienced anglers, this year is a completely different story with a delayed opener and a shortened season. The Buoy 10 Chinook retention period is August 14th through the 27th of August, with a daily limit of 1 salmon. All wild coho must be released from August 28th through September 22nd. Salmon retention will be limited to hatchery coho. The Chinook forecast is better than last year, with 420,000 coming over the bar, but the low coho forecast of 140,000 is the driver or constraint on the 2020 fishery. Stay tuned for the legendary Buzz Ramsey and his Buoy 10 101 segment to make the most of the 14 days of this iconic fishery. Yes, you in the back, Joey Pyburn.
Apparently that bear didn't get the memo that bear season's open.
Yeah,
yeah, that's right.
This Redneck Sports Center's been brought to you by the great folks at Truck Vault in Cedro Woolley. Check out your next secure vehicle storage system at truckvault.com.
Yeah, dude, that house got redecorated by a black bear. There's no question.
It's crazy. You think about that, you know, they're so strong. It just rips the window out of the frame and jumps out the window.
Yeah. See ya. Bye.
Luckily, I mean, 10 kids, 3 adults in that house, man. And nobody was, like, seriously injured. And now this guy's got an amazing story.
He does. Yeah, absolutely. All right. The aforementioned legendary Buzz Ramsey joining us next. We talked to him this week. You talked to him too. He's like, look, I got the tides all mapped out. I got everything. Yeah. So, and this guy has been on the forefront of more innovations in gear than he can even remember, let alone us. Buzz Ramsey joining us next on Buoy 10 here on the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN, Seattle.
Get in, sit down, hold on, and listen up. You're in the RenaissanceMarineGroup.com's Wheelhouse, brought to you by Weldcraft, Duckworth, and Northwest Boats.
Welcome to the Wheelhouse here on 710 ESPN, the Outdoor Line. Tom Nelson here. with Mark Boardman of Vortex Optics, Bruce Larson, Renaissance Marine Group, Joey Pyburn, Ray's Bates, and on the phone, the legendary, the man himself, Mr. Bowie 10, Buzz Ramsey. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, my diverse group of friends.
Well, you know, usually folks aren't all that fired up when August 1st rolls around and, you know, Bowie 10 opens up and we're all kind of waiting for that set of tides. But, man, I tell you what, low coho numbers have us pinched into a 14-day Chinook retention window, Buzz. How are
I know it. The 14 days of Bowie 10.
That's it. So,
yeah, so. Well, I think it's going to be pretty good. I mean, there are years, there are times where fish really don't show up big until mid-month. I've seen years like that. Of course, in more recent years, it seems like the kickoff at the first is pretty good. But this year it starts, of course, on the 14th, as you know. And I'm thinking because those fish haven't seen anything, we're going to have a little opening day effect, and the bite's going to be good.
and we're looking at, you know, last year's number was somewhere in the, high 300,000 range. This year we're looking at an increased number, 420,000 fall Chinook forecast to come in the creek. And we're looking at a sport quota in the ocean that's only 20 to 30% used up. So we're looking at, we're looking at upwards of 70% of that ocean quota still out there for Chinook. I mean, I'm thinking this thing goes off like a mushroom cloud, Buzz.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's interesting that, you know, of course it's all about the tides at Bowie 10, and when it opens there on that Friday, there's only a 2 foot of exchange in the tide from high to low at the port docks. This is according to the port docks tide location, but and that has been that 2 foot of exchange is pretty much that for a number of days beforehand. So I think that middle estuary is going to be full of fish. What happens with those low exchanges is those fish tend to come in with each tide, maybe not as many fish, but after successive days they tend to build their numbers up in that mid estuary to where fishing can be awfully good. And so I'm thinking the guys that are out there, you know, launching from Hammond and going right out front or maybe over near Baker Bay and some of those areas are going to see some awfully good fishing.
So like the lower end of the sands, for instance, so then they call that area the checkerboard. And so on the bigger exchange tides then, would, you know, particularly with a long run out and a high tide, normally you'd talk somebody into going above the bridge on the Washington side, but you think with this lower exchange that down below the bridge, down below the sands, maybe on both sides and a green line on the Oregon side and in front of Chinook on the Washington side, you think that's the play first thing?
I'm thinking everything west of the Astoria Megler Bridge. And there'll be, don't get me wrong, there'll be fish everywhere.
Sure.
But I'm thinking the fish are really going to be concentrated in that middle estuary. And when you have successive days like that of a low exchange, that estuary fills up with fish. And then as your tides begin to build, which they build pretty good the next day, the 15th, Saturday, there's a 5.7 exchange of water. And, of course, a high tide that day is at noon. So, man, that's going to shove a lot of those fish. That's going to push them up further, the bulk of them probably up further, up into the estuary. And that's when you want to, the last couple hours or last half of the incoming, you want to be trolling upstream. And then the first part of the outgo will be the best bite of the day. So it's really going to be a midday bite there on the 15th Saturday. And even on the 14th, I think they'll bite all day then with that low exchange. It's just bathtub tide.
Bathtub tide. Well, you've been on the forefront of a lot of tackle innovations, not just, not just on Bowie 10, but in a lot of different respects. And Yakima Bait, Big Al's Fish Flash, absolute staple down there. Tell us a little bit about the free sliding spreader, because one of the challenges that folks have is being able to run their gear without the lead line jumping up and tangling stuff up and whatnot. And you've come up with a couple innovations that are going to help guys keep their gear running straight and fishing more effectively, Buzz.
Well, here's the deal. When you rig for buoy 10, it's pretty straightforward. Your main line comes down. You know, it used to be we all used either a wire spreader or maybe a couple swivels with a combination with beads and had our dropper line free sliding off a swivel. And then because we didn't want our sinker to swing up and tangle with our fish flash, we would extend that fish flash from where the dropper ticks off about 20 inches back. So there's no way that sinker could go up and swing into the fish flash and get tangled. Which meant that by the time you did that and your fish flash and then you got a 4 or 6 foot leader, it's kind of hard to net the fish, you know? So this free slide, the idea of this free sliding spreader is it's a new concept in a spreader. It kind of looks like a rudder, you know, but it's really a spreader. And because your dropper line slings off that pretty low, there's just no way, you can do it, but it's difficult, that your dropper line is going to swing up into your fish flash. So you can actually run your spreader, come down to your free sliding spreader, have your dropper line off that, and then you can couple swivels and maybe a snap, and you can hook your fish flash right there and then have your leader back behind your fish flash. So it really shortens up the distance from your dropper line down to your, to whatever you're trolling behind it. So, and then the other thing about that is that we've got these, Yakima Bait has these rigging wires, which are heavy, I think it's 051 wire, pretty stiff, pretty big wire. And you can rig that as your dropper line to your sinker, and you can make that the first portion of your leader. So if you happen to get into a ball of seaweed or whatever, man, with those rigging wires, it's off there. You know, you can shed it real quick. And then your leader the distance from your flasher to your bait hasn't changed, but the first portion of your leader is your rigging wire. And so if you do get a tangle, there's not a lot of mono or fluorocarbon leader there to have to untangle should you happen to make a quick turn or do something wild.
Yeah, and we were set up that way last year, and it was just slick. It's very simple, very easy. And it allows you to disconnect your flasher quickly, snap another one on, get another rig down, change color if you want to. And the key is, this is going to keep you fishing. When the bite is on, you don't want to be screwing with
untangling
mono. You want to maximize your fishing time, because look, the cool thing about buoy 10 is when it goes off, and you're looking around, and there's fish on all over the place, you want to make sure you're fishing. And you don't want to be dealing with messing with your gear. It's just a slick system, and it's easy.
Yeah. It really has simplified things down there. And you know, some people, I've had one friend, he's kind of a light line guy. You know, he goes down there with a 20-pound test and tries to conquer the world. But you know, buoy 10, those fish fight hard. And so if you want them to fight harder, I mean, bring them home and put them in the bathtub.
we're talking with Northwest Angling icon Buzz Ramsey this morning. And Buzz, the first time I ever got to experience buoy 10 was aboard your boat. And I'll never forget that day. We caught all kinds of big fish, and it was just a hoot. And I remember, you know, you talking about, you know, your angling innovations and stuff. And you said, listen, I've been trying to compete with a cut plug herring my whole career, and you may have just accomplished it with a little thing called the spin fish. Why don't you tell us about this piece of gear? I just happened to have a box of them show up the other day on the doorstep, and I'll be bringing them down there, no question about it. But tell us a little bit about the spin fish and how you're probably going to rig it and run it down at buoy 10, Buzz.
Well, actually, I had some experience with a spinfish last year, and the spinfish is really a new concept in combining lure and bait, and where you can stuff this hard plug with bait or tuna, whatever scent, and it's different in that it's a pull apart lure. So at first glance, it looks like a flatfish, frankly, or a quickfish, But it's not. It spins through the water. There's no eyelets or anything. You just thread your line through both halves when it's together. There's a hole in the front, a hole in the back. And then you can pull the lure apart and stuff, usually just the rear half is all you need to do, and stuff it with bait, shove it back together. It's on your leader. Can't lose the halves. And then you got a, maybe a bead or two and either a double set of single hooks, or you could, Siwash is what I did the best with last year, about a 4-aught Siwash, and just troll it. And, you know, you look at it and it's spinning just like a herring. It spins every time, and it's always working. If you get a hit and you miss it, you hardly have, you don't even really have, even have to reel in to check it. Just keep going. But one thing I learned back down there last year with it is you've about got to let the salmon take it just like they do a herring. You don't want to yank too quick like you might with a spinner, because a lot of times you'll miss them. So you want to let them mouth it just like with a herring. In fact, I was talking to Cody Herman. He used them last year, and if he got a bite and the fish were a little timid that day, you know, maybe not overly aggressive, he'd strip line off his reel and feed them just like if you were fishing a herring, and had really good luck.
One of the reasons that guys may want to consider picking this up is, you know, bait presentations. I mean, I got this guy named Joey Pyburn here. He doesn't let me fish a lot of artificials and a buzz. So, you know, we got to put a bait on down there. But
well, I like this because you still have to use bait.
Yeah. But here's
well,
the thing.
That's right.
But here's the thing. When you get into them at Buoy 10, it's nice to have a couple rods with artificials because, dude, sometimes, you know, if you just go down there with one net and it goes off, you need, I mean, we're talking doubles and even triples if this fishery goes off like I think it is. And yes, I do have three nets on the Sea Beast. Don't confuse it, right?
Yes, you do.
But, but you know, and we'll have them to bear. But by having an artificial, like you say, you can get whacked. If you miss them, you can have confidence that gear is still fishing. But sometimes you don't have time to rig up three, four baits and send them back down again.
Yeah.
You need that alternative, Buzz.
Yeah, what I generally do down there, you know, in the lower estuary, down low, more towards the salt water, it seems like bait kind of rules down there. So your job's secure, Joey. you get to the mid and upper estuary, and there are times when those salmon really want a spinner, or maybe now a spinfish, I don't know, we'll see. But they really do. I've had days when, boy, I could hardly catch them unless I used bait, and I've had, particularly lower in the estuary, and I've had days when I had one trip one time, and fishing was fantastic, but I couldn't get one on a herring, and I tried it a lot, and everything was on a spinner, red and white spinner. They wanted it. But what I do is, when the bite is kind of a bait bite, but it's a little of both, I'll fish, for example, in the past, I fished spinners on my front rods, and I'll fish bait on my back rods. And I notice that I get the bigger fish, at least in the past, I've gotten the bigger fish on spinners. And I figure that you know, those spinners are kind of getting there first, and those big fish kind of like them, show a preference. And then my trailing rods out the back, I've got bait on there. Because those fish, they either get there late or they're following fish. And I want the scent associated with that. And, of course, now I can run spinfish back there, or maybe a bait and a spinfish and this and that, and have that combination. And then the other thing I've done down there I've done really well on, I'll take my rod, which is a center rod in the back, which it's a disadvantage rod. I mean, it doesn't get bit a lot if I'm competing with all those rods that first get there and the two side rods where maybe the fish come into the trailing gear late. So I take my rod, I put a 4-ounce sinker on it, and I trail it way back behind the boat. And some days, that's unbelievable how well that rod produces. It's attention-getting.
Well, and they're not all on the bottom. On soaker tides like this, those Chinook very well could be up in a water column, Buzz.
Oh, absolutely. Particularly on the flood tide, they come up in the water column. And, you know, there's a lot of guides down there at Buoy 10, launch out of Hammond or Waco or wherever, and they'll go out there and they put out 20 to 25 foot of line on their line counter. Mm-hmm. Those fish flood in on that water, and there's no reason for them to, I mean, they might be deep in the water column, but they just flood in on that. They'll even flood up on top of Desmonia Sands and, you know, 15, 20 foot of water, it's amazing sometimes how they just go where the water goes. And now when the tide gets to running, then they're more apt to be, you know, to get out of the current. It'll shove them, you know, got a bigger tide, which we've got next week. We've got some big tides, 8 foot and more, going on. And those, when that current's running hard, you know, they'll tend to get down near the bottom, or along the current edges. And, so you fish it more like a real river, looking for the little river and the big river, you know, them. And, yeah, that's when they're really into the bottom to kind of get out of the current.
Are you staying down at that, down the campground there, buddy, where you stayed in the past?
I'm not gonna this year, given this COVID thing.
Sure.
I'm not gonna take a bunch of guys, you know, writers and buyers and friends. So I'm not gonna do that. I'm gonna go make some day trips down there. There's some great tides. You know, there's some great midday tides where you know, the bet, like I say, it's particularly if you have a big tide, the last half of the incoming and the first half of the outgo is the very best bite of the day. And there's a fair amount of midday tides, that full week down there at Buoy 10. And, for example, on the 20th, the tide, the high tide, well, it's 3:30 in the afternoon, but you know, say on the 18th, high tide's 2:15. Well, gee whiz, to get the last half of the incoming, you know, I don't have to be down there until 10 or 11 o'clock and fish the last half of that incoming, the first part of that outgo. And yeah, I might get home a little late, but it's okay. You know,
all right, it's Buoy 10 fishing bankers hours with Buzz Ramsey. No question about it. Buzz, we're up against a break, buddy, but I tell you what, we will continue this discussion, no question about it. And I'm gonna try to talk to you. And Roy Robinson's parking a big old RV down there for us this year, and so you know, you could still maintain your distancing and come crash and jump on board the 30-footer. We could still stay apart. So think about that. But, Buzz, thank you for your time today, buddy. Thank you for your expertise. And I look forward to seeing you down there, my friend.
Okay. Thanks a lot, fellas.
All right, buddy.
We'll talk
to you soon.
Thanks, Buzz.
All right. Coming up next, the hottest report we've heard all week and the techniques you need to succeed. It's RoyRobinsonChevy.com's Really? Where? And it's next here on the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN. See ya.
No way. Really? Where?
It's coming back. The island is tinning the lady.
Where'd you get him, man? No way. You gotta tell me. I'm not gonna tell anybody.
The ocean turning red.
Hey, man, can you tell me where you got him?
I'll never put on a life jacket again.
Welcome to RoyRobinsonChevy.com's
Really?
Where?
Where?
Roy Robinson Chevrolet RV will take you anywhere.
Really?
Check out the all-new location. That's 15901 Smoky Point Boulevard, state-of-the-art RV dealership, Roy Robinson RV. Whether you're looking for a Class A, Class B, travel trailers, fifth wheels, toy haulers, or pop-up trailers, Roy Robinson RV has got what it takes. That's RoyRobinsonChevy.com. Joey Pyburn, the hottest deal in town. What is it, man?
Well, with the two-fish limit now in 9, 10, and 11, I think that's where guys need to focus their efforts. You know, we're going to have fishing probably through the 15th in 9.
Yeah.
Then we're going to be able to move into 10. The two fish limit is really nice, you know. It's not easy fishing out there. It's you know, it's been kind of tough. But, man, I got a couple messages. Guys, you know, four kings in the boat.
Yeah.
Haven't heard that for a while.
And I just got a message from Matt from Get Hook Charters.
Sure.
And Chris are out on the boat. Their buddy is down in Edmonds and already has two 15-pounders in the boat.
Whew. Yeah, it's going
to – So the fish are there. It's
they
just,
are. And you, Area 10 is going to go off, especially with this – And I hate to use the word fall because I'm not ready for something. Okay, but look outside, dude.
No.
And anytime we have, you know, a profound change in the weather like this, combined with the shortening of the days and a cooler rain system, you know, I mean, a salinity change in Puget Sound moves through the water column with the speed of electricity. When it rains, it calls them home and pulls them in. And it's not surprising to me that the Bight of Mid Channel slowed down profoundly from yesterday, mm-hmm. just on the strength of this wet system, because it was it rained. I mean, it was rain. It rained here most of the night, you know, and did so yesterday, you know, starting yesterday afternoon. And so it's going to pull these fish in. Area 10 is going to go. And you just watch when buoy 10 is going off. On Thursday, next weekend is going to be after nine closes, Area 10 is going to fish. Now, is it going to be as hot as Buoy 10? No. But I remember several years when I was down at Buoy 10 scratching and Area 10 blew up.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's lots of fishing left this summer. Okay. It's not Labor Day yet. Okay.
Well,
Okay.
And then, so on the coast, Westport's still been great.
Yeah, it has. So, bigger fish, too.
You know.
And you got halibut.
You got halibut open.
And no, you don't have tuna yet. It's weird. Not isn't that weird? I mean, here we are, you know, midway through August and you know.
So still, it'll end up probably being a September, even maybe October deal on the tuna, if the weather allows, right? Not for me.
Yeah, dude, but no.
For somebody who doesn't
know. Yeah. No, you and I got a date with a bull elk, you know, yeah. Not far
and
from
And on
here,
the east so. Side, you still got Brewster Pool.
Yep.
Guys are just roping sockeye over there like crazy and catching quite a few kings just incidentally on sockeye gear. Lake Wenatchee wasn't on fire right out of the gate, but that'll probably pick up here in the next week or two.
Yeah, no question about it. Mark Boardman, Vortex Optics, thank you so much for coming in, man. It's been fun, and now we get to go spend a couple days on the water.
No, man, this has been amazing. I mean, talking with Buzz, getting the Buoy 10 playbook in check, and just sitting here with you guys chatting and hearing Bruce talk about these boats that essentially sound like spaceships for the sea.
You just wait, dude.
We basically see the boat from right here. So this whole time, it's been amazing. But I feel like that kid that's inside playing the violin, watching the other kids play baseball as I stare at that boat out the window. So I'm pumped to get out there.
Bruce Larson, we're going to go get a quick morning bite and send you back to Clarkston and
back
your wonderful wife, Beth. And you're gonna she's going to be happy to see you.
Absolutely. And we're leaving a fair amount of fennel pollen with you for halibut and any other way.
And that's one of the things.
I saw that.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to send you home with some for sure. And Joey Pyburn, did you bring any bait with you today? No bait? No? No?
No. All right. Sick of bait.
All right. After last week. For Mark Boardman, Bruce Larson, Joey Pyburn, I'm Tom Nelson. Matt Nelson back in our Seattle studios. Thanks for listening. This has been The Outdoor Line on 710 ESPN, Seattle.